Pick up the skateboard. Pick up the skateboard.
Kyle, I don't want no trouble.
Pick up the skateboard. Bang! You all saw he had a skateboard.
It's Friday!
Oh, it is, and it's a brand new broadcast. First one in a little while. I don't have the imaging here. I was looking for it. I thought it was in my email somewhere, but it's not. Hi, this is The Horn. Head on .live. It's where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza. That is The Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is usually live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. Hi, I'm Robin, and I'm back, and I hope better than ever. I feel better than ever. A little bit sore? No, okay. Who am I lying to? I'm a lot sore.
Pretty beat up. You're a harbor chick.
I am. I am, Agnes. I'm a harbor chick. Get over here, honey. I am accompanied by the lovely and talented Agnes, who has been such an absolute angel of mercy.
Hmm.
That's your training. I mean, you're a nurse.
Nurse Ratchet. That's
and it's
I
not
am.
Like you forgot how to do it or anything. So just and we will get right into the heart of the news day in just a few minutes. I was kind of hoping that my first day back would be Auntie Robin's story time, but a jury in Kenosha, Wisconsin just had to that up by turning a little punk loose after he slaughtered a couple of people, and we'll be talking about that in extreme detail.
You mean Alice's restaurant, right?
No, I don't mean Alice's. No. He's not on the Group W bench, not by any stretch of the imagination. But we'll be talking about Rittenhouse. We'll be talking about the Build Back Better bill. And it is, of course, Friday, and that means it's Friday on the front porch. So if you would like to participate in our extraordinary, ordinary roundtable conversation that happens on every Friday, we'll run on over to headon.live, and there's a button right there at the top of the page. And if you click on it, it will carry you over the river and through the woods and into the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable, at the seat of honor of which Sparky sits. And of course, there's always, I'm having a hard time getting in there. It's an internet thing. If you should happen to go to headon.live and, we'll fire up the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable in fairly short order. But if you go to headon.live and click on chat room, then pick out a screen name and a password if you never have before. And the next thing you know, you'll be in there chatting amongst the early arrivers. Trying to see if I can get in there myself right now. Am I? Yes, there I am. So, if you do pop by, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Aaron and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Stockton Larry, and capably moderated by, me. So, not quite so capably moderated after all. It may be a free-for-all. I don't know.
Yourself.
Well, it ain't me that's going to be not behaving. It's a gang of miscreants in the chat room.
The listeners are wonderful. Yes, don't they
are.
Call them miscreants.
Well, I wasn't. No, I mean, it's, I.
Remember,
oh, thank
I'm
God!
Still
thank
yours.
God! No, thank God! Thank God! Longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky has entered the chat room, so we don't have to worry about the chaos and the mayhem.
Thank you, Sparky.
It's so good to be back. It's just kind of a shame I had to come. My first day back had to be on the day that the Rittenhouse verdict came in. Look. Who among us didn't see this coming? I mean, sure, it was open and shut. Sure, the kid is guilty as homemade sin. But when we watch the behavior of the circuit or the trial judge in this thing, who didn't see that the fix was in? This was a boat race. This was I don't
know. Can I take the charges home and read them?
No, this was banana peel sliding by on the inside rail in the fifth race at Aqueduct. I mean, Jesus Christ, it was done. It was done from the start. You know, the kid had $1 million in defense from little skinheads and neo-Nazis and various and sundry, baseboard dwellers around the country. Of course it was going to happen.
So what you're saying is the man with the gold makes the rules.
Well, in this case, yeah, kind of. I mean, but we'll get to all of that. And like I said, here in about 55 minutes or so, we will gather together in around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable and just see what's on people's minds. I have here before me some questions. Questions that were put forward by our dear friend Joy in Ann Arbor, who is absolutely just flabbergasted by what happened. Because even if we did imagine, even if it was more than foreseeable that this was going to take place, it doesn't make the injustice of it any less. I mean, a kid takes a gun, crosses state lines to go and perform medic and policing duties that he was not called upon to perform for a corporation that didn't want him there. And then, with a past of having wanted to shoot somebody, he shoots somebody. This is the old legal doctrine of reasonable and foreseeable. This was bound to happen. It was a problem. It was a horror, just waiting in the wings. And so, if you did know that this acquittal was coming, it doesn't make its arrival any less bitter. I mean, this is a trial court judge, and a jury flinging the doors open to vigilantism in the United States of America, as if it wasn't already flung wide open. We're seeing that taking place in Georgia with the Ahmaud Arbery case. I mean, God, please. It's been going on for a while. I mean, this program is about 18 years old. And for the better part of those 18 years, I've been talking about a term that I coined. I got there first. Cold Civil War. And I saw a piece earlier today. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Oh, where are you? There you are. The piece was titled "The NRA Gave Us Kyle Rittenhouse." By the way, pay no attention to the railroad train in the background. Birmingham, Alabama was founded as an iron manufacturing city. And they built the railroad right through the middle of town, and we're not that far from the middle of town. And so between that and the helicopters and the police cars and the fact that you can throw a rock and hit Shuttlesworth International Airport, it can get a little noisy around here. I mean, you know, Agnes and I are country mice, and we're not used to all of this. No.
That's home.
Well, it used, you know, the railroad trains do sound a little bit like home. Back before everything fell apart, you could hear the horns blowing, the railroad trains blowing their horns as they headed through the New River Gorge, and it was kind of a beautiful and haunting thing. But nonetheless, Joy in Ann Arbor with questions. A goulash of my thoughts, questions, hopeless musings. Well, it's the hope that kills you. We learned that phrase on Ted Lasso, and it seems to hold true. One, the issue about a civil trial. Even a symbolic win would be better than nothing. Okay, yeah, this does not foreclose a civil trial. The standard of proof in a civil trial is much lower than it is in a criminal trial. In a civil trial, the standard of proof is a preponderance of the evidence, which, if you want to think about it mathematically, is like saying 50.00001% more likely that the defendant did the thing. Now, that could happen. The problem is lawyers are loath to take cases where they can't get paid. And a civil trial, in other words, a lawsuit, I'll sue you for everything you got, doesn't seem terribly likely unless there are monies to be had. Now, we already know that, for all intents and purposes, young Herr Rittenhouse is a millionaire because of the monies that were given to him by those aforementioned miscreants, those baseboard dwellers, the skinheads, the Nazis, the white nationalists, the neo-nationalists, the Proud Boys, the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters Executive Staff. Just put all those letters together and you'll see what it spells. He's been given a ton of money. And a judgment against him now could very well follow him the rest of his life the way it has followed O.J. And so, you know, eventually, when young Kyle Rittenhouse, eventually when he gets his job in a chair at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda or Newsmuck or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, or when the people of northern Illinois or, I don't know, somewhere in Alabama or Mississippi, wherever it is he moves to, when they decide to send him to Congress, the judgment can follow him along for the rest of his natural born days, which seems like a fine and fair outcome. So that, I mean, that is a possibility, but it's a matter of getting the lawyer on board to do that. Trey just asked a question. What about federal litigation? Well, yeah. Merrick Garland could get off of his patrician tuchus and order an investigation into whether the civil rights of the two dead people and one maimed person that Kyle Rittenhouse murdered and maimed, see if perhaps their rights under the Civil Rights Act were violated. And the Justice Department could bring suit against young Kyle Rittenhouse. And frankly, maybe the investigation could finally extend into, say, Mother Rittenhouse, because Mother Rittenhouse is still a problem in this case. I noticed that she, in interviews, she tried to, I didn't take him there. I didn't take him there. No, I didn't take him there at all. But I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of him for blowing away them two people. God. But that's the nice thing about a civil suit. A civil suit partakes of the idea of sue them all and let God sort them out. And there are principles of things like joint and several liability where you can sue a bunch of people, and if you get a percent of liability against one or the other you can collect against whoever you got them against. Let's say defendant B is found 2% liable and defendant A is found 98%. You can collect the whole 100% from defendant B, and then defendant B spends time thereafter collecting from defendant A, or trying to. These are just the little arcane aspects of the law that obtain and things like that. And you know, really, there is potentially more than Kyle Rittenhouse to be sued here. You might recall during the trial, one of the corporations, what was it, AutoZone? I forget who. But they said, you know, we just need everybody to know that we didn't call Kyle Rittenhouse to come down here. We didn't want him to come down here. We didn't want him to defend our property. We didn't extend anywhere. And I think when we talked about that early on, I mentioned the fact that the reason you put out a statement like that from corporate communications is because that's a way of saying, please don't sue us. We had nothing to do with this. But the question is, did they? And that's why we develop evidence. And that's why maybe somewhere down the road, some of these businesses get sued. You know, and the ugly issue of law enforcement qualified immunity is going to raise its head again, because everybody saw during the trial how the cops came over after he blew two human beings away and patted him on his little head and gave him cold, cold bottles of water because he'd been a hero. And it's right up there with taking the little Nazi to Burger King after he blew away the people at Mother Emanuel Church. See how it works. Lord God, see how it works. But no, Amanda Marcotte, writing at Salon, said, the NRA gave us Kyle Rittenhouse. She has a nice Johnny Cash reference to begin the piece. Good on you, Amanda. But the fact of the matter is, the National Rifle Association, when it transformed itself from a shooting sports and gun handling safety organization into a vitriolic, militant, right-wing paramilitary promoter, they've been working on this since the 1970s. They want an America that has guns all over the place. Hey, look, they succeeded. And they want an America where everybody's carrying a gun and everybody's pointing a gun at everybody else. And in point of fact, as I've remarked in the past, that is antithetical to the United States of America that was envisioned by those flawed and yet occasionally brilliant people who framed the Constitution. They did not want a vigilante nation. Hey, honey, is that helicopter black? No? Okay. Probably on the way to the hospital.
You're good.
They're not in the wire yet.
No.
But the NRA wants that because it brings on a chaotic... because these things always go in tandem. All these dreams of a vigilante state are hand-in-hand with... notions of liberty, as promulgated by the libertarians in this country. You know, what would be great? You know, what would make America great? Everybody had a gun, everybody's pointing their gun at everybody else, and we all had each other covered, and then we wouldn't have no gun violence because everybody have a gun, and everybody have a gun pointed at everybody else. God. So, there remain a considerable number of possibilities, and I don't necessarily know that this thing is over yet. Two, Joy asks, after shooting unarmed person number one, it became an active shooter situation. We're told to take down active shooters with whatever we have at hand, like a skateboard. Is this no longer correct? It's one of those... It runs parallel, Joy, to IOKIYAR. If the active shooter situation, you know, you would think that after shots were fired, the cops would have turned around and just with their heavy weapons would have turned young Kyle Rittenhouse into chutney. But in that dark Kenosha, Wisconsin night, one thing was apparent: his glowing whiteness. Because the fact of the matter is, if that had been an active shooter who was not quite so melanin challenged, he would have been in pieces on the ground. And I don't think there's any doubt anywhere in the country that that is the truth, because there's entirely too much empirical evidence to support the allegation. Self-defense is still the law of the land. It's just that in this case, the law of self-defense was turned on its ear. There's no... It used to be that one of the fundamental tenets of self-defense was that you cannot create the situation in which you claim it. If you claim self-defense, it can't be because you walked into a bar with your guns out and said, I'm here to defend myself, and start shooting. And that's what Kyle Rittenhouse did. I will pause here for a moment and say that maybe, because I watched the trial. And there's something that happens to lawyers in courtrooms in trials. You know, sure, that judge was riding the prosecution like a borrowed mule. They couldn't scratch their nose without him finding a way to make it about, you know, some potential mistrial situation for young Herr Rittenhouse. But it was cold, probably the wrong phrase. It was a cold-blooded prosecution. It was a prosecution where no one... There was no passion. And you know what? A lot of people think that a courtroom cannot have passion in it. Nothing can be further from the truth. A good lawyer can absolutely thunder when needed. And the judge is hard-pressed to tell him he can't. Now, I know there are jurisdictions where you have to stand there at a podium and try to be as dull as humanly possible and put the jury to sleep. But even in those situations, having a working ability to modulate one's voice is a valuable tool, and it just seemed like those tools were not put that well to use from what I saw of the trial.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am. Get over here so people can hear your question.
The question being, he was 17, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you knowingly and wantingly engage in an activity that you knew that could be detrimental to your health? Yes. Did you openly and wantingly carry a weapon into a situation that you did not need to be in? Yes. Did you shoot and murder two people? Yes. Okay, that's guilty. If you make it any other way.
Well, but see, the problem with that, dear, is that
juvenile delinquency.
Self-defense presumes that you have done the deed. It's, yes, I killed them, but I had to kill them to save my own life.
Why did you have to save your own life? You came knowingly.
Right, and that's what I was talking about. You willfully and wantonly...
With a weapon.
You went into the situation. Frankly, the self-defense claim, probably in a sane and competent court, should have been... foreclosed.
Well, what did he shoot them with?
An assault rifle.
Right. 17 with an assault rifle.
No, the judge threw out the charge of possession of an illegal weapon by a person who was underage.
Right. So it comes down to the law.
It comes down to the judge.
That's the law, isn't it?
No, that's the judge. The judge and the law are two very separate things.
That's
this
funny.
Case may well have had an entirely different outcome had it not had this Julius Rosenberg of a judge sitting there in Kenosha.
That's not a judge. That's a Caesar.
Well, no, that's not a Caesar. That is another lawyer for the defense. That's what that is, pure and simple. So we have that. Three, will protests with guns on both sides spark at long last a civil war? Well, I think that has probably been going on for rather a long time already. I don't think that both sides are going to bring their guns. That's what makes this the shooting gallery slaughterhouse wet dream of the right wing that it is. And if it involves guns, you got to remember the Republicans and the various booger eaters will celebrate anything involving with a gun because guns are part of their cult. Okay, there is nobody on the right wing who has been advocating for the rightness of the actions of Kyle Rittenhouse, who for a single instant can seem to recall the words from the Gospels. And it takes place at the time of the arrest of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of their life. Put up thy sword unto his place, for those that live by the sword shall die by the sword. But one of the fundamental indicators of the decency of our side of this ongoing bloody debate is that nobody's going to blow away Kyle Rittenhouse. Nobody's going to hunt him down. No Black Lives Matter or Antifa are going to take him out. It is simply not going to happen. He will live out his happy little life, and, you know, in, 60 years or so, when he goes to his long home, or maybe before that, when he's just a fat, balding, little has-been wannabe. You remember me? I got tried in Kenosha, Wisconsin, because I blew away a couple of people. And you know, when his arteries harden up and he breathes out and he doesn't breathe in again, he'll just be a cipher. And I hope that he will be a footnote in history. This guy, you know, it's hard to call what's going on a civil war, but I've called it a cold civil war. But this is just another installment payment on the blood debt of the NRA, the blood debt that they have called upon us, each and every one of us, to pay. There has been so much attention that has surrounded this case, But we forget that this was just another day when the NRA's roulette wheel of death spun and spun and spun and finally landed on a little place called Kenosha, Wisconsin. I'll bet you that if you did a LexisNexis search, Nexus in particular, if you did that search, you would find out that there were, what, 40 other murders in the United States of America, 40 other cases of gun violence that did not need to be. It was just one incident, but it was brought out into bold relief because of the ugliness of how it happened. Note coming in from Tom in sunny San Rafael. You're back. Welcome back, Robin. It's good to hear your voice. Tom, I cannot tell you how good it is to be back. It's still a little bit, it is more than a little bit difficult to do this because most of the time, until I get a standing up desk and do some technical fixing, this has been a job that involves sitting down. And sitting I am, but not comfortably at all. My best friend right now is a donut cushion. Every time we call an Uber to go to a doctor's appointment or
cushions
or something like that. I have all kinds of little doodads to make me comfortable. And in point of fact, at some point in time, if we sort out some of the monitoring issues, I may very well recline like some noble Roman lady of days gone by, just recline upon the sofa and do the program from there. But that's going to be a little bit different. I just can't.
You'll
the energy.
The reclining southern lady with the eyes clinking in the glass.
I ain't got nothing to clink in no glass, honey. But it is. It's wonderful to be back, and I thank you for that, Tom. Thank you to David. Thank you, David. Just jumped in. And, oh my God, really, really helped out with the bill paying that has to go on. I haven't mentioned fundraising because I was just so eager to get back, but we're in a $2,000 hole. And we're not in a $2,000 hole anymore because David jumped in. And basically that number is all the bills I have to pay to keep stuff running at home and keep things going here. Thank you very kindly, David. Thank you. So very much. I cannot adequately express my gratitude. It is tremendous. During the time that I've been off air, we have had some fantastic help. I don't know if this individual wants to be named personally, so I will not until such time as I am given permission. But we have had tremendous help from a dear, dear friend, a couple of dear, dear friends that have made this possible. One individual just flat out made this possible. And we love that individual with past words. Another person jumped in and has kept us from basically starving down here. And I want to take a moment to thank all of the subscribers. With me having been gone from the air for so many days, it's almost impossible to read off all the thank yous. But know that you are in our hearts and know that we love you so dearly and so thoroughly appreciate your willingness to keep this on the air, even though I've been gone from the air. I think this is the longest I've ever been gone from the air, isn't it?
Yes.
And of course, with the internet situation. Yeah, and part of why I've been gone from the air as long as I did, only yesterday did I finally sort out a stable enough internet connection to get the program out, for heaven's sakes. Because this place where we are, was said to come with free Wi-Fi, and I think this far into the 21st century, we understand that free Wi-Fi really isn't that. I mean, well, it's either not that free or not that Wi-Fi, because the free Wi-Fi here, it runs at about dial-up. It's got everything but the old AOL sound effect. Ning 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 ning. You got mail. You want to come over here closer and do those sound effects, dear?
No.
I think she's exhausted and a little bit giddy.
You have run me hard.
Yeah, I have. And she took such good care of me in the hospital. I had great care from the surgery team. The nursing care was not the best.
Although Tiffany from pharmacy, you rock.
Yeah, Tiffany rocks. And And Pam and Annie. And then
the next time, please bring linens to your patients, like washcloths and towels, things like that that they really need.
Mm-hmm. Maybe on another program, I'll tell the whole story, because I rolled out of surgery in agony. I mean, they had me as doped up as they could have me, but.
And thank you, Terry.
Yes, and thank you to my dear sister Terry. Thank you so much.
Because she went with me to find a nurse.
Yep. But anesthesia had told. They gave me a spinal. And, you know, it makes you kind of dead from the waist down. I was like, okay, you're not going to feel diddly for 24 hours. My spinal had worn off in the recovery room.
And they kept you there 45 minutes before they told me where you were.
And I was like, this hurts. Really, really hurts. But I'm proud to say that leaving the hospital last Sunday, I was opioid free. And I was really, really sort of hung up on the idea of being opioid free, because I just, you know, I'm a West Virginian. I'm naturally prone to becoming addicted to opioids. That's a joke. Don't give me the stink idea.
Don't make jokes about pain management.
I'm not making jokes. So I've been managing all of this with ibuprofen. 6 a.m., noon, 6 p.m., midnight, and lather, rinse, repeat. Anyway, I'll tell that whole story because there are lots of stories to go with it. The things that your brain contemplates. But the most beautiful part of it all is that it was a rousing success in terms of why one does this in the first place. Because this is the only known treatment for gender dysphoria. And it's not entirely gone, but about 2 days after surgery, I realized that something that had been happening in my head for 50 years had stopped happening. The daily constant conflict between mind and body was gone. It was just gone. It was a miracle. And the miracle persists. I feel clearer in my head than I have ever felt before, and it's magic. I need to extend some more thank yous before we go further into the conversation. Thank you so much to our dear friend Ralphs. Thank you, Ralphs, so very much. And thank you to Jeremy in Vermont, and thank you to our dear friend Mark in Florida. Love, bravery, and civility. Thank you, Mark. Thank you. So that means, let's see, let's do. We got about $1,350 to come up with to fill in the gap from the past 2 weeks and make sure that I can pay all the bills back in West Virginia and keep us going here. Thank you so, so very much, because there's all kinds of crap to be paid for. Well, yeah, and that's another thing. Agnes is not going to stay here with me through the whole time. We're looking now at probably December 7th, assuming that I'm able to get around and everything okay. Long about December 7th, Agnes doesn't like to fly. No, let me put that clear. Agnes doesn't fly. Agnes does not get in airplanes. Agnes does not go to airports if she can help it.
Airports don't bother me.
But she does not like to fly. And it just so happens that this what used to be known as the Southern Crescent is now just called the Crescent. Comes through northeast bound from New Orleans and Jackson into Birmingham.
Okay,
and she is going to get on the she's going to get on the Crescent and ride that great mammoth curve up into Appalachia to Charlottesville, Virginia, at which point she will be changing trains to get on the Cardinal to take her into the New River Gorge of West Virginia and home.
And
yeah, she was. And I talked her out of taking the Greyhound. It's like, no, honey, please, no, just no. And so she'll, one of the kids will come and get her, and she'll be back home well before I am, and I will be here by myself and feeling utterly bereft. But we'll take care of that. But she will not go if I'm not okay. But I think I'm going to be okay. I'm getting better every day. Lord, I was beat up and bruised. And I mean, let's see, how many bad colors were there? There was green, and there was yellow, and there was black, and there was blue, and there was purple. And I looked like a rainbow that had been in a bar fight. I am a Harbor chick. She's a Harbor chick. That's me. Let me get back to some emails. Megan points out vigilantism, but only for white people. And now the justice system in this country has proven beyond a reasonable doubt that it exists only to protect property and white men's rights, and that's it. Yeah, I'm fucking livid, says Megan. And within your rights to be so, because the bottom line here is this confirms something again that I've been saying for years. I figured this out way back in the 90s, namely that the law exists for the purpose of the three M's. Manage the morons, punish the mean ones, and above all, protect the money. Manage meanness and money. That's the three M's of the law. It's the only reason it exists. And that's why something like restorative justice is so important. Flavio points out via the chat room, Robin, I'm still hoping the person who straw purchased the AR-15 for Rittenhouse will be sued or prosecuted to the max. Well, let's wait and see if the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms people show any interest in that. It may not be illegal, as crazy as that may seem. It may not be illegal. Okay, thank you. Okay, it is David from Mill Valley. Thank you, David from Mill Valley, for your help. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it. We all do. Yes. That way, this way, we've got a fighting chance of having a program to come back to when I do get home. And I got to tell you, I'm anxious to get home. One of the things that I've noticed down here, and I love Alabama. For all of its faults, I love Alabama. Agnes is over here mouthing the words, I'm not coming back.
No, I'm going to get to West Virginia.
Oh, my God. Like I said, there are stories to be told. I understand. We went to get into an Uber, and it was being driven by
a gentleman.
And as I'm putting my donut cushion into the back seat, I hear Agnes's voice whispering in my ear, don't talk.
Please
don't talk. And I, you know, there was no time for a conversation. I didn't know if it was because it's true. My voice clocks me.
It's hard to protect you.
My voice still clocks me. That's why I'm doing the speech therapy. or if it was, don't talk so we won't get killed. And maybe those two things kind of overlap, because my status as a suspiciously large woman is pretty much out the window the minute I open my
mouth. I am standing in front of you all over the place because there are old ladies that want to kneecap you. I've watched.
And it's so cute, as my caregiver, when we're doing things like getting in Ubers, she refers to me as Miss Kincaid. And I refer to her as Miss Bartram.
That's right. That's who I am.
Mm-hmm. just like I said, there's a million stories. Oh my God.
And you have an endocrine disorder that left you like this.
Yes, she told one good Southern lady that yes, I had an endocrine disorder at birth that made me suspiciously large.
Yes.
God. And so, let's see, his gun, David in South Carolina, Stan points out, and he gets his gun back, although Gun Owners of America is presenting him with a brand new AR-15 for defending the 2A.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no kidding. It's true. I saw that. Thank you, David. And by the way, Jeremy has a correction for you, dear.
Yes.
Jeremy in Vermont says, we're sycophants, not listeners, Agnes. We're sycophants.
I love you no matter what. I do not use labels.
And Lee in New York says, glad you're healing and Goddess Agnes is helping. You've been promoted to Goddess, dear.
I love you, Lee. I needed that.
Also, FYI, Megan says, what people forget about the protesters last summer was that many right-wing agitators were infiltrating the protests. There was an off-duty cop who was caught breaking the windows of a Target to frame the protesters. And there was the asshat who drove into the Salt Lake City protest with his car, got out, screamed All Lives Matter before aiming a bow and arrow into the crowd. He was quickly taken out by the rest of the protest for obvious reasons. And so it absolutely makes me furious when I see people claiming Kyle fired in self-defense because someone grabbed his gun. Of course they did, because no one showing up at that protest with an assault rifle had good intentions. Right. If the people protesting the shooting of Jacob Blake had all shown up with AR-15s, it would have made the show of force at Ferguson, Missouri, look like a 4th of July parade.
I think it says something. Though, that no one had a gun that he was pointing at.
Yeah, nobody. Right. Thank you very kindly, Mark. Mark says, welcome back. Mark from Colorado. And Mark just said, put me in celebrating your return. Put me in for $120 celebrating your return. So, oh my gracious sakes.
You're not ciphering yet.
Yeah, no, well, no, I can do that. Don't interrupt. So. So we're down to like $1,180 to go to get all caught up with everything. Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much. And thanks as well to our dear friend Jessica in Minnesota. Thank you, Jessica. Jessica is getting over her own surgery right now.
Feel better soon, Jessica.
Feel better soon, beautiful. She was beautiful before. She's going to be even more beautiful now. So that gets us somewhat caught up as we go through these. This is just a handy dandy little list of questions. Question 4 from Joy in Ann Arbor. If I rob a bank and feel threatened by police, can I shoot my way out and claim self-defense?
No, right,
because the bank is there. The bank is the bank is the victim.
I think
there have to be dark-skinned people involved or people outraged by the mistreatment of dark-skinned people. 5, I reported at least 4 threats of violence on Facebook along the lines of, when Rittenhouse gets acquitted, we're coming for you libs. None of us is safe. I think there's truth in that. You've got to be in the America of 2021. You've got to engage in a hypervigilant level of awareness. You've got to be aware of your circumstances. You've got to be aware of your surroundings. You've got to know what's in front of you, what's behind you. Don't walk into shadows.
You have to blend.
You have to blend. 5, will Rittenhouse become a representative or go straight to a Senate seat? Oh, that's dark, dark, dark joy, and so true. Because to go back for a moment to what Amanda Marcotte wrote, the NRA gave us Kyle Rittenhouse. And, of course, the NRA gave us the murderous white punks in Georgia in the Ahmaud Arbery case. We've got an Ahmaud Arbery case stupidity citing here. The defense counsel in the Ahmaud Arbery case said that the fact that there were black protesters outside the courthouse, well, he said that meant that it, for his client, William Roddy Bryan Jr., people protesting peacefully. Nobody brought pitchforks. Nobody brought torches. Nobody brought AR-15s. They're just peacefully protesting, engaging in their First Amendment right to petition the government for redress of grievances. Well, Kevin Goff, representing William Roddy Bryan Jr., said, this is what a public lynching looks like in the 21st century. Just because they haven't put a gallery up, they haven't put a podium up outside with a hangman's noose on it, doesn't mean that this isn't a trial, despite the best efforts of this court, that this isn't a trial that's been affected by mob violence of a woke left mob. Dude, time out. Time out, Jack, okay? It's not a lynching until it's a lynching. And saying, you know, just because they ain't put up the gallows yet don't mean that. Uh-uh. They're not going to put up a gallows there, you noble pettifogger, Kevin Goff. A woke left mob. I wonder how this motherfucker votes. And he wasn't done. He doubled down and said, whether people realize that they participated in that or not, I like to think that the vast majority of people outside this courthouse really have no interest in anything but justice. I want to believe that from a lot of people out there. I think that's true, but the perception is reality, and the media have fed that perception and created a reality, whether it's true or not, just like other people, to create a false narrative, and the falsity of that narrative is very apparent in the trial of this case. That becomes the reality. That is what a mob-dominated trial looks like in the 21st century, and we're asking for a mistrial because people showed up and peacefully petitioned the government for redress of grievances because they exercised their First Amendment right, this jackass, this Klansman wannabe, it probably is, this white concerned citizen thinks that this member of the Concerned Citizens Council of Bumfuck, Georgia, thinks that his client's being lynched. I mean, this is, and this carries back to the Senate confirmation hearing of the Justice Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas, who said, this here is a high-tech lynching of me. No, no, it's not a lynching at all, Clarence. And no, pettifogger Goff, it is not a lynching of your client either. But it just so happens that we do have his audio. No, let's see if we do or not. No, we don't. Yes, dear. It kind of does. Well, at least if nothing else, it's a good compare and contrast because, but on January 6th, the good God fearing upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical fundamentalist homosexual Christian Republican maggots who showed up to overthrow constitutional governance in the United States brought, whereas they have not set up a gallows in bumfuck Georgia, they actually set up a gallows in Washington D.C. and walked around saying, "Well, hang Mike Pence from the sour apple tree. Well, hang Mike Pence from the sour apple tree." Yeah, they did that. But well, you know, let's not get lost among, you know, things like factual details. And thank you very kindly, Rittenhouse. Matt in San Francisco says, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up filling Meghan McCain's seat on The View. Oh my God! Thank God I didn't have dinner before this. That would have brought it up in a hurry. Matt says, put me down for $25. Welcome back, lady. I've missed you. I've missed all of you. I've missed you, Matt. I've missed all the communication. I really, really have. Those 5 days in that opioid stupor in the hospital. When you're kind of fighting for reality and
fighting for your dinner.
And I did. I put up a post while I was in the hospital. And I said, if anyone ever offers you a choice between a catheter or having your flesh ripped by weasels, take the weasels and the points. Oh, that was awful. It was awful. Just awful. But we got through, and I just sat there and drank a lot of water, lots and lots and lots of water. And some of the girls who'd been through it before me said, oh, it hurts so bad when the catheter comes out. So I was waiting for something on a level of, you know, human cannibal. No, my doctor just did a very good job. He said, you ready? I said, I think so. I mean, no. And he goes, and I was like, that was it. I worked myself up for that. Yeah. And then without getting too graphic, he went about the business of
not the clown car, dear.
No, don't tell that yet.
Magic hats. We're not talking about.
No, not yet. That story's going to get told, you know. Just not this evening. No. Okay, just three words.
Save that for Reddit.
No, three words. Three words. World's largest tampon. That's all. That's all I'll say.
Oversharing.
That was not oversharing. That's just three words. World's largest tampon. John in Central PA says, I'm just so fucking pissed about this shit. It's open season on us. It is. It is. And that's why we have to be hyper aware and hyper vigilant. And I'm not saying run out and get a gun, because for the most part, we are still adhering to the nonviolence that Dr. King and others preached. And, you know, it was Dr. King who said a riot is the language of the unheard. Well, I tell you what, there was a lot of unhearing that took place in that courtroom. And make no mistake, there was nothing vaguely resembling justice that took place there. Thank you, Charlene in Rogues Island. So good to hear your voice again. Sending $100 your way. All the very best from Rogues Island. Thank you. Thank you so much, Charlene. I'm loving all the folks that I'm hearing from, because it just makes my world feel a little bit more normal. Since getting home on Sunday, and Agnes and I got to the apartment, and my big sis, Terry Ellen, was right here waiting for us. And it was just the sweetest thing. But Lord, I found out something. You know, you hear about it, but if you've never experienced it, it's hard to wrap your mind around. You know, there was a whiteboard in my hospital room, and every day they would come in and write, you know, today is Wednesday, November the 10th. And they would write down the names of all of my care team. And they would write there, you know, what drugs I would get what time. And you would actually engage with that board. But by the time I got out Sunday, I was like, what day is it? And then this place has been like a spaceship. It's a great little apartment, but basically my life runs on a cycle of when do I take my ibuprofen? And
you have activities, daily living.
Yeah, I mean, we get up and we have our breakfast, and one of us will make the other their coffee,
and
she fixes my meals, and she will not let me out of the house to walk around, because she's afraid. She's scared to death for me to walk on anything that is not an absolutely drop of marble and it doesn't move flat surface, because
I don't
need to fall down, go boom, because a lot of good work would be ruined if that happened. But I'm getting stronger every day, but by the same token, the days are kind of running into each other. And so this is so very good, so very good indeed, to finally get back to the air. And I'm hoping next week that we will have a program every day. We'll work on some of the tech aspects. And by the way, the doctor has cleared me to do, he told me I could do pretty much as I felt like I could do. So one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to take my happy little donut cushion out to the car. I'm going to slide the seat back as far as it'll go and put the donut cushion in, get me in there, and start adjusting the seat to see if there's, to see how I can achieve maximum comfort so that I can start taking little jaunts around, because I would like to get to Best Buy so that I can get a longer cord for the headphones, so that maybe if I do need to recline, I can recline. You know what? That's a great idea, because the little Bose headphones are Bluetooth.
Yes.
And they got a microphone on them.
Yes, and I got you covered there.
Hmm. That's very interesting.
You're just in now.
I didn't think about it. But one last thing as regards young Herr Rittenhouse. And by the way, Randy and PA, Randy Radar, points out that in Philadelphia, there is in fact a Rittenhouse Square. He says, but that's just how my mind works. Yeah, I'm familiar with that. And you know what? There is a brand of rye whiskey that's produced by one of the distilleries in Bardstown, Kentucky, but it is said to be a Western Pennsylvania style rye whiskey, and it's called Rittenhouse Rye. How about that? Steve in New York says, I cannot tell you how great it is to hear you. I cannot tell you how great it is to be back in touch with all of y'all. It's just so, so wonderful. And Cynthia writes in and says, hi, Robin, welcome back. And no doubt if Trump gets back in, he'll make the little pig Rittenhouse attorney general or something like that. And as outraged as I am, I agree. Nonviolence, we have to be better than the pigs. listening in on the show at the moment, we'll have to duck out for a phone call. So glad to hear you, and do send your nurses a thank you card, even if they weren't the best, and send a card to your doctor, too. I absolutely am. I am. And because all the nurses weren't bad, just a couple of them. And the reason, just so you know, it's not that they're just uniform. They don't have anybody who is dedicated to trans care. Every one of the nurses who came into my room was what's called a floater. So I was in a satellite hospital just a couple of miles down the road. Both hospitals are just a couple of miles down the road. But some of these nurses, they worked in the main hospital. They worked in Children's Hospital. They worked in this hospital. And I mean, I can tell you for a fact, I was misgendered by the nursing staff at least 8 times within 2 hours of coming in from the recovery room. I'm laying there having just gone through massive gender confirmation surgery. And on at least 8 occasions, my nurses referred to me as he and him and his. And I reached up out of the pudding fog haze that was my existence, and I said, please, do you have any idea what I just went through? Please don't call me he or him ever, ever again. It is just so, so hurtful. And they, some of them, made an attempt in that regard. And so, but there will be more of that conversation coming up. So again, the Amanda Marcotte piece citing the NRA as integral to why this all happened. But the one, if you want to eat dirt and run rabbits, this is the one you've been waiting for. Because you know these two ne'er-do-wells, these two cut purses, foot pads, sycophant Trump fappers. I'm talking about Paul Gosar and Matt Gaetz. They have already begun their celebrations of the murders that Kyle Rittenhouse committed. And with the breaking of the news came a statement from Paul Gosar. Well, first, Matt Gaetz tweeted, all caps, not guilty, because they're so happy that justice was not being done for two human beings who did not need to be dead. Matt Gaetz is just that kind of a twisted, sorry, sad example of a human being. And so Paul Gosar subtweeted him and said, justice was served for Kyle Rittenhouse and he is fully exonerated. As I said last year, obviously self-defense. How you get obviously self-defense from taking the gun to the place where you do the shooting of the people that you shoot? His grasp over anything resembling formal reasoning is not the best. But then he said, and this is the part where you might want to have the hockey puck handy and take a couple of nice trips around your head with the duct tape and just get real. Because Paul Gosar then said, I will arm wrestle Matt Gaetz to get dibs for Kyle as an intern. And that goes directly to the heart of what Joy had written. When she said, will Rittenhouse become a representative or go straight to a Senate seat? Well, apparently, if he wants it, the intern job is his for the asking between, and they're going to fight over him. They're going to fight over him like a couple of rednecks in the dusty streets of the Old West would fight over the affections of a young lady person of the lady variety. I will arm wrestle Matt Gaetz to get dibs for Kyle as an intern. You know, we don't have to go into how homoerotic that is, but, you know, okay, y'all do y'all. But they're going to lionize this sick little freak. And, you know, a couple of years down the road, he'll start that slide that George Zimmerman was on. I mean, consider the things that in America now can occasion the use of deadly force. A skateboard. Pick up the skateboard. Or a can of Arizona iced tea and a bag of Skittles. Yeah. Or going out to dance. Or going to a Batman movie. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of danger in America to the tender, terrified freaks of the gun-humping community. And as Stephen New York points out, Rittenhouse's lawyer said he was the victim of a lynching. No, that was the little dickhead down in Georgia. He's because there are people protesting outside the courthouse in Georgia. There's a lynching going on out there. That's a woke left mob mentality. Oh, for God's sakes. Sweet suffering Jeebus. Well, you know, this was going to... Oh, Agnes. This is not me doing... I'm not causing trouble, dear. I'm answering a question here. Brother Deacon Asa has a question. Okay, hold on now, Asa asked. I'm asking this question not to be mean, but I've been double dog dared by a bunch of miscreants, so I'll ask it in humor. Do you get to keep it in perpetuity in a pickle jar?
No, I tried to have earrings, but you know how it goes.
Yeah, no, there's no, no.
Actually, Robin wanted earrings made out of them. I am an innocent bystander here just doing the nursing duty. That's it.
But no, because there's nothing to put in a pickle jar. It's not gone. It's just in a different place, a very, very different place.
When we talk about tucking, it's tucked to a new level.
And I can't wait till the numbness wears off and the and all the little nerves get sort of reestablished. And because every now and then it feels like a little jolt of electricity.
And it is.
And it is indeed a new life. So let's see here. I have filler robstered my way through an hour of radio.
I love you, Jody. I love you, Asa. And happy belated birthday.
She's sweet that way. Let's see if we can get the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable going. Because I've missed all of y'all, and I hope there's a happy little crowd in the room this evening. We will find out in short order. And here we go. Come on. There it is. Good, good, good. I keep forgetting this laptop is not a touch screen. Ta-da! Okay, now I got to figure out how I view. Okay.
Oh, much love to you.
And, okay, so we do have a nice group in there. I would like to perform one little tech test just to see how this is going to work down the road. I'm going to try the other mic. I'm going to try the lavalier mic and see how it sounds. Stand by. Yeah, it's a lot more roomy. It's a lot noisier. But it is manageable, so that's... We at least have an answer in that regard. Now back to the good mic. Okay. All right, let's go over the river and through the woods and into the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves and check in with Sparky and the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable Gang. Hey, Sparky. Where's the audio?
Hey.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, don't scare me like that, okay?
I just got too many mute buttons.
I understand. I just, I always assume it's my fault.
No. I was up late last night at laughing my ass off at the clown show in Congress.
Oh, dear God.
Wasn't listening to what he was saying. Just watching the people behind him.
Yeah.
When Madison Cawthorn came along, it made it up a new adventure because he was putting tobacco pouches in his mouth one right after the other, practically, and have this big old cup he's spitting into.
Oh, what a classy guy.
And you're just looking at the mask. Sometimes the mask would be on, and sometimes it'd be off underneath the nose. And then it kept rotating out people. It was like the whole freshman advance of the Republican Party had to do a turn sitting behind the leader.
Well, yeah.
Each congressman is up there trying to keep from falling asleep.
Up past his bedtime, was he?
I think so.
Well,
when he went to 2 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast.
Lord God, it sure was nice to see you in the Blue Dot Room last night.
Yeah, I've been hanging out there a lot. We've got a couple. We've got like 4 Blue Dots in the Horn chat room right now.
Cool.
And there'll be some blue dots in here. It's like we got quite a crowd now. Oh, and Steve won't be joining us tonight.
Oh, is he busy?
Yeah, he's got an industrial client he's doing an audit on.
Oh, that's got to be. That's got to be just so much fun.
He may not be done until about 8 o'clock this evening. But he texts me anyway. All the housekeeping chores out of the way. I removed you last week, so I didn't call you.
Oh no, I appreciate that. I would have been kind of useless if you had.
So, and John's supposed to be along. I told him not to be late.
Well, it was just so nice to chat.
He's bringing his pom poms.
Yay. Well, it does.
You might as well start checking with the rest of the people now.
Well, it does look like we've got a nice group in there this evening. Anybody want to jump in and get the conversation started?
See who unmutes. Because nobody wants no takers. Tracy's in there.
Yeah, I see Tracy.
It was nice to hear you last night on John's show, Robin.
Oh, thank you, Jeremy. I just happened to notice it, and then I realized that that although I don't have the Discord server set up on my phone, that I had my iPad with me, and it's set up on there. So, ta-da! I was able to get in.
The horn was strong on his server last night.
Yes, it was. Yes, well represented.
Hey, I have a pop quiz. I'm going to give everyone a pop quiz.
Okay.
Question number one. Had Kyle Rittenhouse been a young black man, he would be A, dead already, B, dead already, or C, dead already?
How about D, all of the above?
Ding, 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 ding.
Take a heaven for 1,000, Alex.
Alex, tonight.
You know, let me ask you this, Robin, and I'll ask everybody else. I had a discussion with a colleague tonight about what I thought about it, and here's my fear. And listen, hear me out, because it's going to sound like I'm going in a place that I'm not actually going. I have to wonder if actually the jury got it right. And here's what I mean when I say that. That the issue is less about how the trial went, putting aside the cock knocker who was the judge, And is it more about that the law needs to be changed, and that's the real issue? That, you know, I didn't read the law. I saw parts of the judge charging the jury, which was a disgrace, when he completely stopped. I don't know if anyone saw that, where he just stopped in the middle of it. And tell me what you think about this, Robin. Had they convicted him, that probably would have been a clear error, probably would have reversed it, given how he screwed up the instructions.
Oh, the whole thing was an error waiting to happen. I mean, the judge and the claim of mystery. The one that drove me craziest was the idea that they accidentally compressed, because, you know, this happens with computer crap. They accidentally compressed the drone video, and that opened the door for the judge to say, how am I supposed to know this ain't a deep fake?
He actually said that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he actually said that. Not a joke.
All it does is confirm my disdain for judges and courts, which I do disdain judges and courts.
You know, there are some good ones, but it seems like there's, and maybe this becomes established as a natural law of the universe up there with Boyle's gas laws and the law of gravity. Anytime there is a high-profile trial, you will have the worst possible judge. I mean, this guy certainly confirms it. I think back to Lance Ito. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the nature of televising a trial just brings out the worst in people. And by people, I mean judges.
You know, there's an irony in what you say. And the irony is, on the other hand, I think exposing this people like this is probably, and I'm not saying it's going to work, but it's probably one of the better ways to let lay folks know just how screwed up, how screwed up things are.
Well, I mean, that would be great if a whole bunch of lay folks who don't understand the legal system in the first place weren't out there saying, see there, that poor little boy, they was going to put him in prison, but now justice has been served. Our system works. I mean, I have no doubt that if I...
Oh, thank you. I appreciate something. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I have no doubt that if I were so stupid as to, and I can't yet and I won't, but if I were so stupid as to go out and just randomly select a bar here in Birmingham, Alabama, and go in there, like I said, if I were stupid, I would find people saying, yeah, God damn it. Because something I said to John Britovo last night in the Blue Room, I think that this state actually may be more maggoty than Texas. This place, there are people here, and they've been trained to do it, you understand. People here use the word, people here, is there a bar fight going on?
No kidding.
People here use the word conservative as a synonym for good. And they use the word liberal as a synonym for baby flesh-eating Satanist evil. I'm not kidding. I mean, Joy brought up the concept of civil war. It's already underway. I mean, it is so bizarre. I saw a news story. Terry sent it along to me today, and I was like, God damn it, really? Florence, the little town where she and I grew up, was on a list of 8 decent-sized cities in the United States. Jonesboro, Arkansas was another one of them. Hi, Haley. But Florence, Alabama is dead last in the nation in terms of having protection for the LGBTQQIA+ community. I mean, they have absolutely zero protections. None. Zip. Zilch. Nada. And that's so sad, because once upon a time, that little corner of Northwest Alabama was one of the more progressive areas in the state. And progressive in the South is a different meaning from like progressive in Massachusetts or California or Washington or Oregon, but it's still more progressive than other places. And the damnedest thing is, you know, I grew up here. Carrie grew up there, not here. And, you know, there was no paucity. I mean, the fact that one high school graduating class had two trans girls in it, I mean, come on. But there was no paucity of gay people. None whatsoever. And yet, all these years later, 40 years later, not a single protection. This is a divided country. And you really do kind of have to come down and see it to believe it. I mean, Agnes and I were in the car in an Uber, and the driver said, well, you know, here in Alabama, we're good, conservative Christian people. Where does the word conservative appear in the New Testament? Because it doesn't. You know what I mean? It doesn't exist. All the people that are the heroes of the New Testament are all freaking liberals relative to the conservative, hyper-conservative culture of 2,000 years ago Judaism or 2,000 years ago Roman law.
Well, let's even go further. They're freaking hippie, countercultural, sandal-wearing,
communist,
sackcloth-wearing, patchouli-smelling, outside-sleeping, VW bus-driving weirdos.
Pretty much, yeah. And by the way, thank you for the note to Brother Deacon Asa. Oh, dear, dear Asa, you couldn't even wait until we were on the porch before you took the program into the gutter. Yeah.
We're in the gutter? Hey, we're in the gutter.
Hey, Brother Bo.
At the right time, I swear.
Hey, Brother John Brittabo. How are you, my friend?
How are you doing, Robin? I'm sorry I'm late again.
Oh, that's okay.
Story of my life.
I'm okay-ish, and I will be considerably better with every passing day.
There you go. See? Just got to keep that positive attitude flowing.
Hey, John?
Yes?
How are you doing? I've been thinking a lot about you with the crap you're dealing with the neighbors, and et cetera. How are you doing down there?
Well, hey, thank you for thinking about us like that. We appreciate it tremendously. And it's calmed down substantially. Substantially.
Was that after you had the talk with his daddy?
Yeah. So,
excellent.
We're hoping that stands. We're hoping to, you know, sleeping dogs lay. Just, you know, we're looking for a peaceful place to live, the same place they are up and down the street. That's why they bought this beautiful place out by the river, so they can enjoy life. Well, that's what I want to do. I want to enjoy life. So,
excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
Leave me the hell alone. But anyway, we're doing fine. But thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. That makes us feel good.
We all got to stick together, my good man.
We do. We do. We are in strange times, my friend. I'm nervous. I won't be shy to say it. I'm nervous. That's we got to make some bold moves.
Yeah. Hey, Robin. You were right about the cold Civil War, except it's no longer as cold as it was. It's kind of warming up a little.
Yeah, it's warming up a little bit. And they're getting enthused now. They're getting encouragement from local cases. Yeah.
Oh Lord God, and you know what, John Brittabo? They are motivated to vote now.
Oh baby, I'm telling you, that not guilty verdict coming down motivated them like you, and you throw in Steve Bannon's little comment about, you know, you picked on the wrong guy, we're taking the offensive and all this bullshit and the kind of crap that Paul Gosar's crapping out there or Kevin McCarthy or, you know, pick one, you know, Donnie's personal ass maggots, ones that really crawled up Donnie's ass, and they are motivated. And that's what worries me. What worries me a whole lot more is if you go digging around to find out just how many maybe law enforcement agencies or agents are.
I've been hollering at the rooftops for years.
Yeah. It's when you start looking at the big picture, then hell yes, you should be worried, and that should motivate your ass to get out and vote. That's exactly what that is. Because it's got
Well, if you can vote, I mean, you know.
Hi, Tracy.
Hey, baby. I mean, because I mean, out here in California, you know, in the entire state now, we can vote by mail. Yeah. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to have a doctor's excuse. Nothing. You just you'll have a mail-in ballot regardless. You know, because California.
Yeah, because civilization.
You know.
We ain't got a whole lot of things California's got, Tracy.
Well, you know, I actually, you know, but then there's still people in California that are stupid. I was all excited because we have here now a black-owned and operated talk radio station. And I got all excited, and I was listening to a show last night, and they played a clip. A black trans woman. Was talking about her sexuality and saying that she's sexually attracted to women. And so the host of the radio program says, well, that's crazy. Why didn't she just stay a man? Because that means it must be mental illness. And of course, I could not let that lie.
I bet not.
And I called in to the show. Because you know me, and I let them have it. and I said, you know, first of all, I was all excited. This is my first time listening to this radio station. I was excited because it was a progressive black radio station owned and operated by black folks. And then my first time listening to this station, and I'm being my community is being attacked. What the, and I'm like, and I can't cuss because, you know, FEC. But I said, what is going on with you people? Are you kidding me? Mental illness? And they said, so they're like, no, we weren't attacking. I said, well, how do you say you're not attacking if you're saying that a person's sexual choice of sexuality is mental illness if a trans woman decides that she is not attracted to men? That she's attracted to women. So we go back. Let's talk science here. First of all, and gender, social construct. Okay, it's fluid. People can change. You know, there's, you know, it's something that's made up. And what else did I say? I said, oh, by the way, it's all about based in white supremacy. Because if you knew anything about your black culture and our Africana studies, if you knew anything about our real history, go back into our motherland, transgender and same gender loving was accepted. It wasn't only until white folks came into our country that all of a sudden there was problematic. So it's all based on white supremacy and blah, blah, blah. And let's just say that by the time I finished talking to them, and oh, by the way, the conversation went on for 45 minutes.
Tracy put on a master class.
Outstanding.
I said, y'all, and I said, and by the way, when you say stuff like what you said, and because you're siding with a person that just had a television program, or I would, and I'm not going to say their name, but see, that adds to the problem and fuels the fire that makes transgender black women dead.
That Tracy, they need to give you a show on there.
Hey, I said the same thing.
That's what Robin said.
I agree. I'll jump right on that bandwagon.
Well, this country learns that there's a huge difference between fluid sex and sexuality. We'll be in a better place. That's a long ways off.
It's a long way off. And I said, you know, because I said, look, I was blessed and I'm privileged that when I realized my true authentic self as a queer woman, and then I had to break it down to because you know, I told him my story with my wife, and I said, "I said I'm not a lesbian. I'm not exclusively attracted to women. I love my wife, but I'm not. It's not like, oh, I'm only attracted to women. I call myself queer because I don't consider myself heterosexual. I do love my wife, and I don't feel, like I said, but I said, you have to learn words matter. I don't label myself as a lesbian. I label myself as a queer woman because that's what fits me now. What I might be next year, next month, tomorrow, who knows? But I am not a lesbian.
Because fluidity.
Fluidity. That part. When I said, you know, so I said, words matter. I said the problem with heterosexual people or people, I said, everybody, it's like, there has to be this or that. That, you know, that if this, then that. There's, everything has to be, you know, there's this binary. There's no gray area. And that's very Eurocentric. I said, if you were really in touch with your Afrocentric side, your Africanness, then you would know that there's different layers. There's different levels. There's nothing has to be this or that. There's different levels and all this. But we are so caught up in the Eurocentric way of thinking. We have no idea what we're capable of and how the different levels that we are. And so that's why we get caught up in this. It's like, we can't explore our sexuality. We can't, it's like everything is either black or white, and it's not so. I said race, like race, sexuality, and gender. All social construct used to keep people in line, used to oppress people.
Structures of social control.
Thank you. See, that's structures of social control, motherfuckers. See that? You know how hard it was for me not to cuss?
It's a job. Well, I mean, see, in terms of being able to hold your own for 45 minutes at a time, you've had 10 years of practice here. So it was,
I could cuss. Over
right,
here.
Right. But it wasn't a fair fight in that regard. But you do have to learn how to turn on the FCC fine filter.
Right.
But you have but see, you have a word or you have a phrase. And that phrase is?
Oh, yes.
Hic mater copulator.
Hic mater copulator.
And if it's a woman, hic mater copulatrix.
Hic copulatrix. And that's boys and girls and this motherfucker in Latin.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Tracy, you should consider putting the mic up there and doing a show. I'm telling you, baby.
Well, you know, when she's finished with her master's degree.
Actually, you know what? Next semester is a very easy semester for me because the only class I have that's going to have put any real thought into it would be my science class because I only need 4 units next semester. I'm taking 12 just because of financial aid. But 3 of those units are exercise classes.
You need to kind of work into it. Maybe get a sidekick gig a couple of days a week.
Oh, yeah. Be somebody's sidekick.
Yeah.
I would love to be somebody's sidekick.
I thought Tracy was your sidekick. That's how come I call Bernadette my Tracy.
And you know what? I just heard from Bernadette.
Did you?
Yeah, Bernadette.
How's she doing?
Bernadette, is she two-timing me?
I don't know. There may need a different kind of algebra.
That's all right, sweetheart.
But I heard from Bernadette. Sure. Bernadette jumped in on fundraising. Thank you so much. And by the way, I have been having, because of the way I have to sort of convalesce and everything, I can either recline in bed and put pressure on a place that doesn't want pressure on it, or I can prop that up, and that puts pressure on my neck that I've had problems with for years. So I've been having neck spasms from hell. And if it were not the fact that Agnes had the presence of mind to bring some Prize trees with us, I don't know what I would have done.
Agnes, bless your heart, baby.
Yes. And so she's been keeping Bernadette's Prize trees salve for what ails you on me. And once again, let me tell you all, this is an unpaid product placement. Shit works.
This shit works. Whatever hurt, and I reiterate that, whatever it hurting on you, rub some Prize trees on it, baby. It's going to help.
Amen, because I tell you what.
It really will.
When these spasms start up, it feels like just white heat runs down to my sternum, out of my neck, runs down both arms, and it feels like somebody's taken a piece of, like, welding brazing rod and held it in the fire until it's just glowing white hot and run it through my elbows and my wrists on both sides. I mean, it hurts.
Shut up. You're making me hurt.
And Agnes put some Prize trees right there on the affected area, and everything calmed down.
I just put some on Marcia's back just right before I came back here. She's in there visiting with a friend, Miss Deborah, and her back's been bothering her, so right before I came in here, right after eating my sandwich, I put some Prize trees on her back.
Ooh, what kind of sandwich?
It was a ham with cucumbers and tomato, onion, some green goddess dressing. So
I
kind of,
I tell you what, I guess, and Bernadette.
It was a quick sandwich.
Bernadette, by the way, says, I'm sorry I missed you on John's show last night. It was really good to hear your voice. So happy for and so proud of you, lady. Thank you, Bernadette. Thank you, dear.
Thank you, Bernadette. She's my, everybody knows if you listen to my show, Bernadette, I love her because she's a powerful black woman, and she ain't going to let you get away with shit. You say something? Yeah. Bernadette's going to be right there to give you her opinion of that. And it's, as I always say, it's the passion that comes out of you when you're talking about a subject that's dear to you. That comes out naturally. Tracy has it.
And
going back to your educational part, I've always done what I learn more about the subject I'm trying to learn, the more I talk about it. So
exactly.
If you talk about what you're learning,
it encourages
that whole process within your mind.
And when you talk about it, it fixes it in your brain. Yes.
And it rearranges it, puts it in the right little cubicle, or in my Rolodex. It's like a librarian. You have to code that shit.
Did Robin tell you? So today, this week was Tracy the Activist Day week. So yesterday, Tuesday, I staged a walkout in one of my classes.
See?
And then I ran a maggot out of Starbucks.
when it comes out of you naturally, that's the passion.
Listening
to you explain the stories that you tell, Tracy, it opens up a lot of people's minds because you lay it out there. I'm a heterosexual white guy. What do I know about shit? Not too much. That's how come I love listening to you. I'm going to learn something. And that's what a lot of people are doing. That's why we're all tuned in here to Robin's show to begin with.
Hey, Robin, Tracy, was it a mask?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happened was, first of all, he was trying to run over me to get into Starbucks before I did. And he didn't have his mask on. And I thought maybe once he got inside, he was going to put it on, right? And so he got inside and he stood in line, and I looked at him and I said, hey, forgetting something? And he looked at me like, what? And I pointed to my mask, and he's like, oh, in Orange County, we don't have to do that. I said, well, we're not in Orange County there, buddy.
Yeah. You want to check your GPS on your map there, buddy?
Yes, jackass. And so he walks out, and everybody applauded, and he never came back.
Well, it's good for you. Good for you. Because you know what that is, Tracy? Maybe that's leadership. That's leadership. That's what that is.
And then what I'm happened in class, we had this teacher. First of all, this teacher is useless. The class is research methodology. Research and methods. We're supposed to be learning how to do research. We haven't learned jack shit. And we hate the class anyway. And so this teacher is making us read out loud. It's a fucking 300 level class. Why the fuck are we reading out loud? But anyway. So Tuesday in class, she had me reading one of the passage from the book. And then she called on another student to have her read. And the young lady said, okay, I'm sorry. I have it. It's not on my, I'm trying to get my computer to boot up. And she's like, it's not on the computer. It's because we have two books, and one version was on this electronic version. She's like, and the girl's like, oh, I'm sorry. I haven't been in class because I had a loss in the family. And she's like, well, I've been telling you since the beginning of the semester that you needed this book. And she's like, now, did you just hear what the girl said that there was a loss in her family, and that's why she hadn't been in class and she didn't realize. And so, and this teacher, this bitch is going on and on about this book. And so then she had another student read. So I waited until the other student finished reading. And then I said, Dr. Gant Britton, I said, did you not hear that Kayla said that she had a loss in her family? And you kept insisting upon her reading this book? What is wrong with you? I said, now, I don't know if you're having a bad day or you weren't paying attention, but I am very disappointed in your reaction and the way you treated her. I said, because see, I've had you before, and this is not the kind of reaction that I would be expecting for somebody that claims to care about her students. I am very disappointed and I'm very upset. And I kept going on and on. And at first she's just looking at me and looking at the camera because it's a Zoom class. And she's like, well, I didn't mean to. What did she say? Well, I was going to talk to her later. I said, oh, no. She said, well, because of privacy, you know, I said, privacy went out the door when you kept going on and on about the damn book. You weren't going to say anything to her because you want to say anything to her. You would have said something before you asked another student to read. So I said, you know what? I don't really think we need to go any further in this class today because I'm upset and I know the rest of us students are upset. So I suggest that we end the class right now. I'm leaving and then I think the rest of this class should leave as well. So everybody signed off and left class.
Boy, howdy. Good for you, Tracy.
All right.
She's working on her Angela Davis Award, John.
Yeah, John. John Robinson, so I'd be expecting that collect call from Cuba.
I'm still proud of that one.
Oh, shit.
Oh, well, hey, Angela Davis is a black queer woman as well. So, hey, you know, right. I wouldn't mind being in her company.
I don't just say things. Oh, hey, the sandwich conversation came up a little bit ago. One thing. I have to, you know, there's a lot of weirdness down here, but I got to give props. For some reason or another, Birmingham, Alabama has some kick-ass Chinese restaurants.
Really?
Holy shit.
See?
I found a place called Mr. Chen's Original Chinese Kitchen, and they deliver via DoorDash.
Yes.
And Agnes, and my God, the portion sizes are just insane. I think Agnes is still working on her Singapore Mei Fun. You know, that's those really thin little rice noodles, and it's tossed in this beautiful curry sauce with like chicken and shrimp and chopped pork and egg and I ordered Szechuan beef, Szechuan stewed beef hot pot.
Ooh.
And they got it right. They used the Szechuan peppercorns. It turned my mouth numb. There was blazing hot chili pepper in it. And the beef was just so tender it fell apart when the fork or chopstick touched it. And it took me 4 days to knock down that. And I wasn't going to let any of it get away. Oh, God, it was so good. So one of the important things to my recovery has been to maintain good nutrition. And I have. Yes, I have.
My wife just discovered the secret of Chinese tender meat. And it's bicarbonate of soda.
Really?
Yeah. You do a little dusting or a marinate in bicarbonate of soda, rinse it off, pat it dry, and it'll take the toughest steak and make it into a good stroganoff meat.
Oh, wow.
It's an amazing tenderizer.
How much for that? How much, Roger, do you use, you know, what's the ratio water to baking soda?
My wife's the one that did it. But apparently it has to do with an acid component of the baking soda, and it does something to the meat to keep it from not sticking together so much.
Well, I know this stuff was just tender and fantastic, so it took me a while to knock it all down, so I won't be ordering again, but I will order again.
Y'all are killing me. You know, I just had a ham sandwich.
Well,
I had a ham sandwich.
But we haven't gotten to the part where Sparky talks about
Tuesday. Well, I can't get Chinese on DoorDash. Let him tell the story.
Oh, shut up. You get deliveries of all kinds.
See, yeah, I can't get Chinese food.
Yeah, I think you still
got Chinese food or anything else.
Yeah, I think you still got the winner there, Sparky. I wouldn't sandbag if I were you.
And I had the delivery last week, too.
Oh, see, there he goes.
I told you.
There he goes.
I knew it was going to happen. It's like clockwork. Yeah.
I just like bragging, you know.
But I screwed up and they had to make it into two deliveries.
Oh, and by the way, John Bredebo, you will be tickled to know what Agnes and I had for lunch.
What did you have for lunch? What did you have for lunch?
What a burger.
Outstanding, did you? Well, what did you think?
Oh, it was fantastic. I had a double.
It's a good hamburger. It's a hamburger.
Yeah, but I had a double cheese.
That's a good one.
I had a double cheese Whataburger with grilled jalapenos.
Oh, there you go.
And their creamy au jus sauce.
There you go. That's a good hamburger.
It was messy, but Lord, it was good.
Yes. Yes.
Well, what's a Whataburger?
What's a Lord, forgive her. She know not what she saith.
Have you heard of Masturbator?
No, Tracy.
No, Tracy, Whataburger.
In and out.
Whataburger is in and out without the damn Bible verses.
There you go.
You know what? All these years, y'all, I did not know. See, I knew there was a reason that I didn't really particularly care for In and Out Burger. See?
Now you know.
See, this is the kind of shit that pisses me off.
I figured
you can't even have a regular old. Ugh,
This weekend.
Damn, people be fucking shit up.
This last weekend, I went to San Antonio. And I met with a bunch of people that flew in from across the country. We had a Blue Dot meeting, a Blue Dot family hookup. And one of our group insisted that we go to a place. John, have you ever been to Dick's Last Resort? Well, no, I haven't. What's that? Let's go. Have y'all ever been there? You ever been there, Tracy?
No.
No.
Oh, Lord, have mercy, please. The handbill, and there's one in Pigeon Ford and one in, because I told my brother you got to go.
I've heard of it.
One in Myrtle Beach.
It's nationwide, and the food was excellent. I had a chicken fried steak. Of course, that's the law here in Texas. You got to do that. And man, that was a great chicken fried steak. And the side dishes were excellent. I really did enjoy the food. But the bill outside tells you right off the bat, it's good food with a side of sarcasm. And that's an understatement. Oh, Lord, is that an understatement. It is. Your waiter is extremely rude. Beautiful. In a fun way, but very rude. And you're welcome to be rude back.
Sounds like my kind of place.
I called my brother in Tennessee, and I looked it up on the map before I called him. Yes, there's one in Pigeon Forge and another one, and there's another town there in Tennessee that it's in. I told him, look, your birthday's coming up. Go. Let me see if I can – the most outrageous thing I said.
That would be the kind of place when you're having a really bad day.
Yeah. This I left there just
– And go there.
You're leaving that one part, John.
What part? Which part?
The headgear.
They make you a hat out of the sheet paper. They pull it off a roll and then they – like a tube, and then they start making a headband – and it's quite long. It's like a dunce cap almost. And they write something on that hat, and they put it on your head. Everybody walking around the restaurant, everybody's got one. Mine said, what's her name? Shit. Spark, do you remember her name? Offhand. Caitlyn Jenner. I'm sorry. Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, no.
It said, Caitlyn Jenner makes my naughty parts wet. That's what my hat said. My friend across the table from me, his hat said, the only thing I'm getting up tonight is my blood pressure. all sorts of nasty little... Now, wait, great. Let me explain. Because this is a family show. It's acceptable to explain what the waiter did when it's your birthday. Oh, it's your birthday. Well, you get, I think it's a margarita, maybe a drink of your choice. But they come by and they put an empty glass in front of you, pretty tall glass. And then the waiter comes along, grabs a chair, stands up on the chair and dominates the whole table. He's got another glass in his hand and he's holding it right about crotch level. And then he starts to pour it into the other glass and looking at the birthday girl going, oh, you like that? Like, you like to watch that stream? Oh, yeah, look at this, baby. And he shakes it. He never once spilled a drop of that. Every drop of it hit that glass. But he was waving it around like, look like this, look like that. Yeah, I know you're watching me. Oh, look at this pendejo over at the other table. He likes watching me, too. That was the most outrageous thing I saw. But he did that three times to different people. It was, like when he delivered the drinks. We all ordered different drinks, and he came over to the table, sat it down all in one big group, threw some straws down there, and he said, here, Bendejos, y'all figure this stuff out. I'm busy. And just walks off. It is. But it's all done in an air of. Don't take your kid. Leave your kid home. This is more adult-centered entertainment with your meal. But it is pretty outrageous.
You got three in Tennessee.
Yes. Yes.
Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg.
Gatlinburg. That's the one I was trying to think of. Yes, this is nationwide. I had never heard of it. Walked in the place. Well, I should have got a hint because we went to the one on the Riverwalk in San Antonio, and there's outdoor seating for eating in all these restaurants up and down the Riverwalk. And of course, there's people at Dick's outside, and they're having a birthday. And the waiter comes over to the birthday girl and instructs the whole table and the whole crowd around, we're going to sing happy birthday, but don't say her name. We're not going to say her name. We can't say her name. So just say, you suck. So here we go. Happy birthday to you. You suck. And next thing you know, not only the people in that restaurant, people walking by on the Riverwalk are singing along.
Screaming, you suck.
Yeah, you suck. You know, it's a good time was had by all. Besides, that was just one adventure. We had many that weekend. I was so privileged to meet up with a lot of our Blue Dots that we hear, our Blue Dot family, just like the Horn family here. And so when you get the opportunity, when Robin's ready and she's saying she's having a horn in, do it, baby, because you're going to meet people whose voices you've heard. You're going to have memories to walk away with.
That's everything, isn't it? I mean, just...
It is.
Bringing people together who have heard each other, heard from each other. I think it's just fascinating.
After 5 years of this Blue Dot family, you know, friendships have been made. And not only that, but deep deep friendships and things that happened in our family. And I know, I'm sure it happens here in the Horn family. Y'all hear me come on here and ask that you donate to Robin, that Robin is in need. And indeed she is right now. She's just coming back from being off for surgery. So yes, she is in a dire situation. I know she is with her bills. She's got to pay the damn bills. And this is how she pays the bills, by using her voice, by bringing this Horn family together. And you have learned over the years, you know, Scott, I know Scott, Steve from Georgistan. Are you shitting me? Tracy, I know her voice, man. This is part of the Horn family. So you learn these people, and it's such an adventure. In my case, Miss Linda, a.k.a. Mary Ellen, and Terry Ballard and Mitch Goldstein and the whole gang that came. I am so lucky to have met them, but they got to meet each other too.
Changed your
and
life.
That is a fan.
Changed your life, it didn't it, John?
Can I interrupt for a minute?
No, I was talking. Anyway, squirrel. I'm just shitting you, Sparky. Go ahead.
We got two guests in the room, and I don't know who they are.
Ah, yes, I see that.
Where are these people?
One of them is me, if you all can hear me.
And we do.
And the other one is John I Fly.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Johnny Fly.
We know who Johnny Fly. Who is the other one?
This is Kevin, Colorado Springs.
Oh, hey, Kevin. How are you?
Good. I was hoping you all could hear me. I'm back in the 21st century again.
Well, yay.
So,
you know, we've been waiting on you right here.
Well, and I need to send
we're glad you got here, brother.
Indeed, Kevin. And I need to send thanks out to Aaron. Thank you, Aaron, so much. We are down to like 1040. To catch up with what we missed.
Sounds like an IRS form.
It sadly does. So the sooner we get off that schneid, the better. Maybe get down under $1,000 would be wonderful. But thank you to everybody who's jumped in this evening. It's taken a great weight off my mind because power bill, water bill.
You name it, they want money for it.
Oh, yeah, and you got, you know, I ain't using it, but I got to keep the internet on.
Oh, yeah, they don't care if you use it or not. You're going to pay for it.
And that's brutally expensive. Because
and that's why it is so important, especially now. And I know there's so many of you that are regular donors. And thank goodness for you. Bless your heart for it. I appreciate it. I know Robin appreciates it. But she's coming back off a hard time and need to do some catch-up. So, yeah, if you've got a little bit extra laying around, that ain't going to hurt you. And that's always a standard rule with me, and I know it is with Robin. Don't do anything that's ever going to hurt you.
Exactly. Don't ever do that.
But if you have it, then be generous because she needs it. And, what's that old saying? Karma, baby. It'll come back around to you.
And I tell you what, John, it blows my mind. I did not know when the clock spun around to 4 p.m. I didn't know if I'd be able to do 3 hours here. But lo and behold, I'm amazed that we time flies when we're having fun, and it has just been so good to get back amongst this beautiful little family community Indeed. Congregation that we've got here.
Indeed, because that's what it takes. You know, when I was talking about this family, when you donate to Robin, and I'm sure in this Horn family, as in the Blue Dot family, it goes beyond that. We have Blue Dots within our family that reach out to help other Blue Dots in need. I've seen that so many times. So the family that is built is not only built just around Robin. It's built around all of you that listen and participate in this show. And it's the same way in the Blue Dot family. Friendships are made in the chat room, in the typing chat. From Facebook, from YouTube, and they find somebody they click with. The next thing you know, they're meeting, or somebody in the family. There's a need, and we try to identify that and try to help fill it. So the family thing really is important, and I think it's part of this Horn family, and that's what this means. So it's important to keep her on the air because she creates the space that we can have this Horn family meet. And all the entertainment you get. Look at the freaking entertainment you get.
I know.
You couldn't get that shit for anywhere else for this cheap. Are you shitting me?
Yep. Hey, John.
Hello, Johnny Fly.
Hi. Hey, I caught a little bit of that experience we had at Dick's. Did you tell him about me by chance, or did you keep it secret?
No, Robin, you're familiar with Johnny Fly, right?
Oh, yeah, I know Johnny.
Okay, hi, well, Robin. This is,
all right. We are at Dick's, and I have to describe some of what goes on at Dick's, right? We all know now it's sarcastic as shit, right? So you really got to do something for the manager to walk over and give you a sticker that says, you're a dick. Guess who got that sticker at our table?
Tell me it was Johnny Fly.
Oh, please. Do I have to?
Yeah.
It was Johnny Fly.
And John Boover was sitting over in the corner slinking
my ass off. That's right. Yeah, I'll fade into the background. Y'all have fun with this shit.
But I told him yesterday on the Blue Dot Show. I said, he's sitting there saying, I got a dick, tag that says I'm a dick. But actually what it says, so I want to correct this for the record, because I'm not a dick.
Correct this for the record.
It says, I'm a dick, apostrophe S, small s.
Excuse me.
I'm a dick.
My time.
No, wait, this is my time.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It says, I'm a dick's last resort. Virgin. He neglected to mention the word virgin. And virgin in red.
Excuse me, Honor.
I was going to say, if I was to ever go there, John, and was to get that, it would be an oxymoron in more than
more ways than
yeah.
Yes. You know why he got the sticker that he's a dick? Because he asked that the waiter next time give him a hot blowjob.
Yeah, I got a cold blow. I want
he got a cold blow job.
Right.
And he prefers a hot blow job. the waiter walks around with what appears to be a low powered leaf blower.
Leaf blower, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you want a napkin? Hold the napkins right up in front of the leaf blower. Here, yeah, just rain napkins. Y'all want napkins?
Yeah, but he did it in my face, John.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He did it right in your face, Johnny Fly's face. And then when the manager walked by, Johnny Fly told the manager, next time the waiter comes, tell him I don't want a cold blowjob. I want a hot blowjob.
Sticker. There we go.
Hence, he got the sticker.
Yep.
See? You have to speak up to get this squeaky wheel.
You can't take him out in public. You know, some of them, really got to watch.
That's what Mitch said. He said,
yeah, see, we're
the
just
words
trying to,
that
we was trying to
mouth.
Come out of your mouth. Oh, try to watch. Yeah.
Well, I got anyway. let me add this. I got a note from our buddy Scary Jerry. Meanwhile, from Florida, welcome back, Robin. You sound different. Safe to assume you ain't doing jumping jacks. LOL. Oh, I'm not doing those or push-ups nor sit-ups nor. I did buy one of those wedge elevator pillows from Amazon, and that's going to make sleeping a little bit nicer. But Scary Jerry says repair and rejuvenate, but also sends along a photo. You know, one of those little sandwich board signs that they put outside the store. It's all done in black and in yellow background with black lettering from deep in the heart of Florida. And it says, AR-15s in stock. We have ammo.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I heard it's the new thing. You must have one.
There's an ammo shortage.
If you want to join the militia, are you going to walk up with what? You got a, what? You got a little 270 deer rifle? Are you shitting me, son? How many bullets can you put?
Yeah,
that ain't
bolt
enough.
Bolt action, please. Right.
Hey, Robin, I have a complaint from the insurance companies or Dick's department right now.
Yes.
I just went into Walmart to fill out my 3-month supply of insulin and different devices. And as of September 30th, I hit my copay maximum, and one of the devices I wear costs $500 three times a month. This isn't that device, but when I filled that device last time, they said, oh, guess what? You've hit your maximum. No out-of-pocket copay. Okay, great. So the rest of the year, everything I need should be free unless it's supplemental. Oh, none of the stuff I have is supplemental.
Well, good.
So I go into Walmart just now.
Oh, no.
And they get my pumps out, my 6 months or my 3 months display, fine. They run my insulin. And they say the copay is $125.
Excuse me.
Pardon me.
And I said, that's wrong. I maxed out September 30th. They're like, is it MVP? I'm like, yes. They said, oh, she said I had the same problem with them not too long ago. They charged me $600
months, and I was already at a pay maximum. So insurance companies are dicks. They don't tell everyone that you're at a max, at a pocket maximum.
It's the basic concept of insurance companies.
Oh, and let
Walmart
me,
wouldn't play along. They still charged me.
No, of course they did. They're Walmart. The Waltonaires might have to eat beans if you actually got your contract honored.
Or people out on the street with cardboard.
Yeah, little Waltonaires with their noses pressed up against the frozen window pane, looking at all us proles inside eating it.
Somebody should be playing violin music.
$15 billion a year they get. In your pocket.
Yeah, but I haven't.
And this is another argument for Build Back Better. $35 a month maximum to those fuckers for insulin.
Damn right. And by the way, while I was in the hospital, you know, I take metformin to manage my blood sugar, and it works quite well. Thank you very much. But while I was in the hospital, they put me on insulin. And kind of creeped me out a little bit because I run hypoglycemic as well as hyper. And the food was so horrible that it was inedible. I mean, I'm not kidding, inedible. The first night they brought me some rice with beef tips and gravy. You needed a magnifying glass to find it.
You assume those were beef tips.
Well, yeah, exactly. Friday's beef stew over rice. And why are they giving a diabetic rice in the first place? Time out. Was literally 2 tablespoons. In 2 level tablespoons. And so the last day I was there, I finally broke down. There's a little chain here in Alabama. It was started in Alabama called Chicken Salad Chick. And they're a chicken salad outfit, and they're really cute, and they've got good stuff. And so I door-dashed that into the hospital and had the first decent meal I'd had in a week. But the insulin just freaked me out. But here's what I was going to mention, Jeremy. Is I got a call yesterday from my insurance company, and we know how I feel about them. And, you know, this wasn't some asshole. This was a nurse whose job is to follow up with people who've had surgical care and make sure they're okay and do they need anything. I mean, this was the, you know, this was the white hat side of the insurance company. And we got to talking and went all through it, and I said, now, got a minute? And he said, yeah. I said, your employer sucks.
Nothing subtle about it.
Yes. What? I said, I specifically purchased this contract of insurance because it pays for gender confirmation surgery at a 90-10 level. Yeah, I know. We're one of the best companies, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, we jumped through all our hoops. We followed all the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, WPATH standards. I got my 3 letters. I got in therapy. I lived as a woman for a year. I was on hormones for a year. And we got down to getting the surgery, got it all scheduled, put the package through, and they wrote back and said, denied. And to his credit, he said, what? I said, yeah. I said, because some consulting doctor who probably couldn't put a Band-Aid on a corpse without hurting somebody said that my surgery should be done on an outpatient basis. He said, you can't do that. I said, congratulations. Find that motherfucker and tell him yourself.
Yeah.
And we went on and talked, and he said, I said, then when they relented, they said, okay, you can keep her in the hospital for 2 days because I needed to be in for 5. You can keep her in for 2 days. But then kick her ass out on the street. If they had kicked me out on two days after surgery, I would have died. I would have still had the catheter in, the packing in, weak as a kitten, all of that. And I wasn't even off the opioids at that point. I hate those things. Jesus, I hate those things. I don't like to be foggy unless I do it to myself, like, you know, with a bottle of tequila or something. And I don't even do that anymore. He said, well, I'm looking here. They did finally knuckle under and give you the other 3 days. I said, well, you know, thank God for small miracles. But the guy was actually kind of nice. He said, listen, I said, I'm telling you this because I don't want this to happen to another woman. And he said, I will send this up the line to the people who are above me and up to corporate. He said, this should not have happened to you. I said, it shouldn't, and I hope it doesn't never does to anybody else. And I said, but the fact of the matter is the intentional infliction of emotional distress is an actionable tort in Pennsylvania, Delaware, and West Virginia. And I got a 2-year statute of limitations on that son of a gun, and I want an apology.
I would like to think that doctor is neutral, being a doctor, and, you know, the whole Hippocratic Oath, do no harm, and that he isn't a maggot. But I have to wonder if he was, if he decided he'd try to fuck you over because, you know, it's better to try to erase you than help you.
Right.
Yeah. That is a question in the back of my mind. It really is. Trying to force you to have an outpatient surgery, which is impossible for what you did.
Yeah, and it turns out my surgeon has to do this all the time because they play these games trying to get people to just give up. So they suck up his time explaining, you know, no, this can't be done on an outpatient basis. You're crazy. You're evil. Shut up. Approve the surgery. And by the way, before I head out the door, I need to send out some thank yous, or a thank you. I think I thanked Aaron. And again, thanks to Matt for jumping in. And I will mention on the way out the door that this weekend is the Trans Day of Remembrance. And I was talking to my sister, Terry, and she said, you know, we do this every year on Trans Talk Raw. And she said, last year we read the names of trans people who have been killed. She said, last year there were 23. This year there are 46.
Going in the wrong direction.
Going in the wrong direction, and it is on purpose. And we have people like Dave Chappelle to thank. So maybe
does he say how many of them were black, Robin?
The majority.
But they don't exist.
Well, yeah, according to Dave Chappelle, they don't.
It's not one.
Hey, Robin, Ben's had his hand up for a bit.
Oh, I'm not seeing hands. Hey, Ben.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good.
How are you feeling? Are you feeling better?
I do. I certainly feel better than I did a week ago. This coming Tuesday.
Glad to hear that.
This coming Tuesday, I will be 2 weeks post-op. Healing is slow, but I'm told that, you know, like the swelling will be down by like 6 to 8 weeks. And 6 months out, I should be at like an 87%.
So I had a question healing. For you about Rittenhouse.
Okay.
Can the victim's family still come at him with a wrongful death lawsuit, and can they also come at him with some additional gun charges?
He can certainly be pursued civilly. The federal government, if they should choose to investigate civil rights violations, could bring charges on that. It's just a matter of waiting to see if Merrick Garland will find some courage down in his soul and do it. I thought he was going to be a great attorney general. I'm not so impressed anymore.
Hey, Robin, where does the state of Illinois?
Of the doubt.
Hey, Robin, where does the state of Illinois stand in all this? I mean, did he he took the gun with his mother across state lines, right?
Yeah. Oh, he bought it in Wisconsin. Yeah.
Oh, he bought it, or did he buy the?
I think a straw purchaser purchased it for him in Wisconsin, but he took it home to Illinois. Yeah. And the problem is, in both Wisconsin and Illinois, you know, all these right wingers saying, you know, well, look at Chicago. Chicago's just a shooting gallery. It's Murder Incorporated in Chicago. Well, Chicago's busting their ass trying to deal with the gun problem. But you've got all these rural counties outside Chicago where they practically give away guns in goddamn gumball machines. And the same thing applies to rural Wisconsin. And so that's, you know, and you can, you know, if you can get the money on the table and you have a pulse, you get a gun. And so that's the source of the problem. But I, you know, we talk about, I talked about it at the beginning of the program. The nice thing about a civil suit is you can sue them all and let God sort them out. And so you might sue the place that sold the gun to the bullshit purchaser, saying that they knew or should have known that it was a fraudulent purchase. I don't know if it would fly or not, but somewhere along the way, there's going to be a settlement. One hopes that there will be a settlement for the one survivor and the families of the two people that he slaughtered in cold blood, as far as I'm concerned.
Isn't that scary, Robin? I'm telling you how they get these guns.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Alabama's this way. Mississippi's the same way. Tennessee.
Hell, Texas.
Texas. West Virginia.
Oh, yeah. Come on down.
South Carolina.
It's in Leviticus. Get a gun.
But it's also in places that we like to think are a little bit saner, like Illinois and Wisconsin. This is the long term.
Oregon, too.
Yeah,
Oregon, too. Very lax gun laws here.
Yeah.
Oh, hell, Christopher, you can, in Oregon, you can carry a gun into the state house in Salem, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, sure. Robin, my father
one of the
said.
I'm behind Beto O'Rourke. He stood up and said it, and he's standing by his statement.
Robin, my father said that since Kyle Rittenhouse used Full Metal Jacket ammunition, he was meaning to kill people because you do not use that kind of ammunition unless you are trying to kill people.
Well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, Full Metal Jacket ammunition, all Full Metal Jacket means is that the lead core has a wrapping of copper around it, and it keeps it from coming apart. Actually, it makes a cleaner wound than, like, say...
It's designed to go through you and the guy behind you and the guy behind him.
It's a military design is what
indeed.
It is.
You want to hit one target when you're shooting.
About 1,000 feet from where I'm standing right now is a store called the Powderhorn. And about 10 years ago, a guy walked in, seemed like a perfectly normal customer, asked to see a Glock. Store owner gave it to him. Then he asked to see the ammunition. Guy gave him the ammunition. He loaded one, shot himself in the head right in front of the owner. He's still in business, doesn't care.
Yeah, even though that was his negligence, sure. And we have to remember that manufacturers were given an immunity by the Congress, and you know, people that should have known better actually voted to extend that immunity. Sure. I'm lost in Central Time and Eastern Time. I forgot that my laptop computer is still on Eastern Time. We would have another hour to go, but I have gotten 2 hours in, and I've discovered that is about the extent of my ability to sit anywhere for one time. So I'm so glad to have gotten back on air this evening, and it's so wonderful to talk to each and every one of you. I love it all, and I love you all. And I thank you for joining in the conversation. John Bredevo, thank you for coming by. It's just so sweet to hear from you.
I enjoyed it, Robin. Thank you.
I enjoyed it immensely. And, slowly but surely, I'll build my strength back up.
I put the velveting of the Chinese technique in the chat window with the baking soda method. I also did a cornstarch method, but cornstarch was first, baking soda is second. Okay, gives all the quantities for how to dilute it and how long to soak it, all the rest of that.
Cool. I will look into that. I think Agnes and I are going to DoorDash a little bit of dinner, and then, frankly, I'm going to bed.
Hey, Robin, just follow the process, and we love you.
Thank you.
On a happy note, in your honor, I just walked out of See's Candy with lollipops and dark and milk chocolate caramel stuff and peanut butter stuff.
And you know, I've got a picture to send you, Tracy, of me reclining on the couch, and back behind me, and because Annette, her name's Annette, has done such a fantastic job of keeping not just keeping them alive, but getting them to bloom.
Flowers?
Yeah, my flowers are still a going concern a week into their existence. So it's in the background of the photo that I will send you in short order.
The fact that we got them, that nightmare, motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah, and I tell you what, I've never gotten flowers in the hospital before because I've never been in a hospital before, but it really, really does matter. And it just perked me up. And, my dear friend Lila sent me balloons, and I sat there looking at them and looking at those flowers. And I never dreamed what a difference that it could make, you know, not to get religious or anything, but, In that list of shit that really matters, the Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of their life, made, he said, you know, what matters is feeding the hungry, housing the homeless, visiting, healing the sick, and visiting people in prison, And somebody who's in a hospital is a person who's sick and in prison. And hearing from people really, really, really does matter. Because time just goes somewhere else in there. And I just want to thank everybody who did reach out to me. It was so sweet and so kind and so loving. And I could never adequately express... I can never adequately express how important and how warm and wonderful that was to me. So I want to thank you all. And we'll get back at it on Monday. So like I said, slowly but surely, I will build my strength back up until I'm in proper cane-raising form. And we will, we will go from there. And there's, like I said, there's still a lot of stories to tell. And we will, I'll be telling them along the way, probably with Agnes standing there ready to censor me at a moment's notice. No, they haven't, Asa. No, they haven't. God. Asa is desperately trying to drag this program into the gutter. But that's what Asa does. That's his job. Thank all of you over the weekend for anybody listening on the podcast. We've got around $1,000 to go to get caught up with all the missing time, and we'll go to work on next week. And I'm gonna engage in a little frenzy of bill paying down here so that shit won't get sideways. I won't get a call from home saying, "Dad," and I can't thank you enough for making that possible. It is so tremendously important. So have a great weekend, everybody. And thanks again to everybody who jumped in on the front porch. It will now transform magically into Sparky's back porch, and feel free to participate as you wish. Thanks to our PayPal and Patreon contributors. Thank you, each and every one. And I'll get back to naming everybody in short order. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatsoever manner you so choose. Thank you, Sparky, in both the chat room and in the Skype chat room in the old holler tree. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask them, please ask them, to co-sponsor HR 2073. Truly grassroots legislation, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. It really and truly does. And of course, always, Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Everybody can get their boosters now, according to the FDA. So get it. We're still trying to find out if the maggots and the ne'er-do-wells are going to keep this virus spiraling around through the country. We don't believe in masks down here in Alabama. Heard that. We don't believe in forcing people to do things they won't want to do. This was my Uber driver. I was like, Jesus, please don't blow through a red light. It just happens that way. But, you know, get your booster, wear your mask, wear gloves if you feel necessary. Maintain your social distance. And, well, if somebody comes walking towards you with an AR-15 saying, "I'm here to defend this here car parts store," avoid that person like a homicidal plague, because he is. Have a great weekend, everybody. It's been so good to be back. Love you all. Later.